Podcasting live at the time we recorded it. From the studios in downtown Gulfport, Florida, it's WGAB, the Gabcast.
All right. Welcome back to WGAB, the Gabcast. I'm Cameron Healy. I'm the assistant editor of the Gabber newspaper. And I'm here with... Who are you?
Hi, I'm Nicole Vogler. I'm usually behind the camera since, like, this began, basically. But right. Now I'm in front of the camera. I'm an Eckerd student. I'm a junior, and I am a double major in creative writing and film studies.
So she has the experience to be making our podcast and then also being on the podcast.
Yes.
So
hopefully
we wanted to get you guys to see her.
This is me.
Yes.
I am she.
And she did a lovely little, not that little actually, article about a Eckerd alum who was in the Olympics. So we thought it would be a good idea to talk to you about what you do with us and how it is, and go further into your interview with the Olympian.
Dude, yeah, it was amazing. I'm also the culture editor for the on-campus paper, The Current, at Eckerd.
The student newspaper.
And the student newspaper, The Current / The Tritons. We had like a rebranding thing, but
all
anyway.
Of the names.
Right, exactly. But yeah, we had training like 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And this was probably like 3 weeks ago now. I, being the culture editor, I was like, I heard about this Olympian on the, where did I see that post? It was on the alumni Instagram. They posted about like Eckerd has an Olympian or Eckerd has an alum going to the Olympics.
Yeah.
And so I pitched that at training. Like, this is such a cool article. I would love to write this. But the issue was our sports editor, Aiden Brill, had that idea as well, because I mean, it's a sports piece, you know, because she's an Olympian.
Yeah.
And so then, well, we both looked at each other and we were like, well, who's going to get to write this, you know? And we decided to work on it together. So the one I did for you guys was just me based off of my notes, but the one we did for The Current, we wrote
together. So how did you get in contact with her? Like, how did that even get into, how do you do that?
Dude, it was actually so easy. I just like looked her up on Instagram and I saw that she was already following the Tritons Instagram account.
Oh my God, she's a fan.
Right? And so we just reached out to her on that account. We just DM'd her and I just said, hey, like, we would love to write this article about you. We like think it's obviously so cool that you went to the Olympics. And so we just called her for about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And we tried to do as much research about her beforehand so that we could like know who she was.
Journalism.
Right. I had never been so prepared for an interview. Usually in the past, like when I was new, I would just kind of like
we're going to just ask questions and hope this is enough.
Exactly.
Like right now.
Exactly. So, but the thing is online, you know, you can really only get her stats and some like basic info about her. So it was really cool to get some like Eckerd specific info.
Oh yeah.
We found out from her, she, at the beginning of the interview, she was like, does the Eckerd cafeteria still have the soft serve ice cream machine? And Aiden and I looked at each other and our mouths just dropped open and we were like, what?
No, like, is she the CEC or the...
I don't know.
Was she talking about the cafe? Because I know the one that's next to, what's the place called?
Yeah, the CEC cafe.
Yeah, they had soft serve.
By Sigma?
Yeah.
But the CEC cafe was only open my freshman year and they like left the ice cream machine just like sitting... I never saw it, but according to other people, it was just like outside, just like rusting, just like empty. And so they just left it not working. But the CEC's was closed last school year and is closed again this school year. I don't know why.
Oh my God, no.
But yeah.
That's so funny. I wonder if there were multiple, like it was like at the CEC and the actual calf. Like if there was like more ice cream.
That would be magical. I just think it's so funny that she started the article with being like, is it still there?
And like, I want to know.
Right?
What are you talking about?
We were like, dear President Annarelli, where did the ice cream machine go?
No.
But yeah, it was so cool to get to talk to her. And she just some like light overview. She started sailing when she was six and she is from Minnesota. I mix all the like M states up. But yeah, no, she's from Minnesota. She started sailing when she was six. But she, in high school, the main sports she did were like track and basketball and that kind of stuff. And she would sail in the summers at like the yacht clubs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And her dad actually taught himself how to sail because when she was little, she was like, I want to learn how to sail. And then so he taught himself and then he taught her, which I think
that
is
so cool. That is so cute. Yeah, I love
then,
that.
Yeah. And then in her senior year of high school, she was committed to the school in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. She had a roommate. She had a fridge. She had like everything figured out, right? And she told us that she remembers sitting in her high school cafeteria and something just clicked. And she was like, oh my God, like, I chose the wrong school.
I need to go to Eckerd.
Right? Like, she felt something calling her to, like, even though sailing wasn't her main sport at this point, she really felt like she wanted to continue on with sailing, and there was something, like, pulling her to Eckerd. She said she had a friend at Eckerd who was a few years older than her, and she called him up just to be like, hey, like, everything's still going good at Eckerd? Like, how's Eckerd?
Like, do we like it there?
Yeah, exactly. On this day when she was like, shoot, should I be going to Eckerd? And she said she called him up and he was like, hey, yeah, like, you know that perfect temperature that's like not too hot and not too cold? And she was like, yeah. And he said, that's literally what it's like right now. and it's like
you
spring
need to be here.
Exactly. Because it's spring in Minnesota. Like, she's freezing, right? And she's like, okay. So she said she like figured everything out and she told the school that she wasn't going to come anymore in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And she called the Eckerd coach and was like, hey, I'm going to sail for you after all. And apparently he was super excited because he thought he had lost her. So yeah. And then she sailed for Eckerd. She like led the team to, I forgot like what the championships are called, but she led the team
like
of champions.
Couple, right?
Yeah. She, for 3 years in a row. And then, yeah. And then she wanted, she had a friend who went to the London Olympics in 2012 and she was like, right? And so she wanted to go to Rio super bad in 2016, but then it was like the finances and the coaching, she, not everything was figured out. She didn't have enough finances to go, not enough funding to go. And then in 2020, she went to the trials for Tokyo, which obviously got interrupted because of COVID. So then she got to go in 2021. But people were kind of just doing their event and then going home. They didn't get to like enjoy it. So Paris, her second Olympics, was much different. It was
She actually got to experience the world, like the Olympic Village, all of that stuff.
Her stories were so cool. Like, and she met so many Olympians.
Oh my
like,
God,
so
guys,
many.
She had pictures on pictures with like celebrities.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Dude,
yeah.
It was like Katie Ledecky, Steph Curry, like a lot of those people she got pictures with.
That's
awesome.
I wish I was good at something.
Right? Like, and we're like, well, are you going to go to LA? Because she hasn't medaled yet. And she like really wants a medal. But she's also like, am I going to settle down? Like, do I need to like move on with my life or keep going with sailing? You know, so it's a whole.
I'm excited. I hope she kind of does.
Me too.
I really liked hearing about her and her experience and her connections through Eckerd because I felt like when you were writing about it, there was like a good chunk of people getting recognized that she was like, hey, we need to talk about these people. They also did these things before I got there. And
like Courtney Becker Day.
Yeah.
She graduated I forget what year she graduated, but she competed in two Olympics and bronzed in the 1996 Atlanta Olympics.
Yeah,
and
like so, that's so crazy.
Right? Like, she was like, Eckerd. Hey, I'm not the only Eckerd alum who has gotten to the Olympics. And Aiden and I looked at each other and we were like, what?
So
like,
do we hit up everybody that we know?
Right? Like, I'm like, Eckerd has had two. I told my friends this yesterday and they were like, one of them is a tour guide.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, I'm so going to mention that on the tours.
Shut up. Wait, that'd be so sick to be like, right? So who has gone where from Eckerd to the Olympics? Like who? Like who?
Exactly.
That's
These are the only two
there
I know.
So many.
So far,
but I felt like you were naming all these people that like she has worked with or, you know, had some connection to through Eckerd. Like that's so
It's like mainly Eckerd sailing. Like she was just saying when
sailing
she was a student, right? Like when she was sailing as a student, they would be traveling like every weekend. Mm-hmm. She, you know, she'd go from like a beach party at Eckerd to like the cold bay like of whatever state of
right
like
that
to compete.
Stinks
I know right and then but she said she had so much fun and like so much bonding and there was someone she sailed with in Eckerd she's about to race in a it's called the Championship of Champions, I'm pretty sure, at the beginning of October. And he's healing from a broken foot, actually. So she's like, hopefully everything is okay for us to sail. But then she met up with another Eckerd alum in Paris. The Eckerd Athletics Department had made shirts with, like, go Laura Dahlman Weiss.
That is so cute.
I know. Yeah, Laura Dahlman Weiss is, I realized, I don't know if I've said her name.
Guys, we've been talking about somebody. Laura Dahlman Weiss. You're going to put a picture or her name.
Yes.
Slash in the video. Exactly. This is who we were talking about.
Right, because I've written her name so many times through the article that I, like, forgot that I hadn't said it at this point.
We're just thinking about her.
Yeah, exactly.
But Laura.
Yeah, she was really, really cool to talk to and just how motivated she is. Like, she's always picking up a new sport. Like, her grandfather, who fought in Vietnam in World War II, he was super into tennis and was probably would have gone pro had he not had to go to war. And so literally a few weeks after she gets back from the Olympics, she's already posting on her Instagram, like, taking tennis lessons, like, learning how to play tennis. And I'm like, does she never stop?
No.
Like, this is, I don't know if I could do that. Like,
that is real balls. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
No, absolutely. I mean,
it'd be good to try something new like that. How could you not want to, especially since, like, she was saying, or that you quoted that she said, that even going to the Olympics was, like, her doing it for her and her grandfather. Like, that was so sweet. And now she's so trying to take on something that he really loved. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he was we had seen just, like, one little bullet point when we were doing our research before that said that her grandpa was, like, her biggest inspiration and motivation. Mm-hmm. And so we asked her about that in the interview, and it was just a much more – it wasn't just, like, oh, I love my grandpa. Like,
no,
it was
like, she had background. She had information.
Yeah.
Had reasons for why she felt that way. I love that.
It was beautiful. Yeah, he was a, like, prisoner of war for, like, 189 days, I think.
That is actually insane to
I know
think about.
in Germany, I'm pretty sure. It was during World War II, but just, like, how she was talking about, you know, kind of how he was just always, like, her biggest example of, like, what a leader is.
And, yeah.
And he still lived his life with so much, like, grace and humility and kindness, like, coming back from the war. It's like, wow, I didn't expect to get, like,
all of this,
like, deep emotion.
You were just like, you went to Eckerd and you went to the Olympics.
Right.
But then there was 10 million other things involved in her story.
There's so many cool people who've gone to Eckerd.
This is why you ask questions.
Exactly.
Right. This is why you do your research.
Liberal arts education.
And you ask questions.
Exactly.
You never know.
Right. There's been so many times when I got to Eckerd, I was like, I'm going to pick up, like, I thought I was going to, cause you can rent out, like, sailing boats at the, like, waterfront that we have, like, these tiny little sailboats, and you can sit over by Omega and watch people, like, slowly crash them into the seawall, which is actually no more. Now we have a natural, they, like, took that seawall portion out.
Interesting.
It's like a living shoreline now. Anyway, but, I was like, I'm going to learn how to skateboard. I'm going to learn how to how to sail. And I still haven't done any of that.
No, it's okay.
It's
okay to have aspirations.
Right. My friend Nilo, who runs the skateboard club, or at least did, he started the skateboard club our freshman year. I went out with him one time to go learn how to skate. Me and my friend Ale went with him. And just that once. And
just
I fell, once. I fell and I have, like, a scar, like, on my leg now.
Right.
It was amazing. And after that one lesson, I was like, thank you, Nilo. Like, now I'm going to, like, learn how to skate. And then I never went back out again. And I have a longboard. Like, I got a longboard for Christmas to learn because I'm an Eckerd student. You know, why not?
Duh.
Never learned how to ride it.
What?
A junior. I know. It's embarrassing.
Okay, you can still learn. That's not too bad.
Laura Dahlman Weiss is still learning.
Duh.
I have time.
That's what I'm saying. You can do anything.
Exactly.
Never say never.
Never say
never. I will fight. I will fight till forever. Kathy just doesn't know it because she doesn't know Justin Bieber. Like, I know Justin Bieber right now.
No, did you have a crush on Justin Bieber?
No, I actually. I just know that song. Like, I mean, I know a lot of his songs, but anyways. Regardless, Kathy doesn't know who that is, and then
she doesn't know who Justin Bieber is, like, at all.
No, I bet she does. She has no time to explain herself.
Oh, so. I thought of one more funny Laura Dahlman Weiss story to if we need to wrap it up.
Yeah.
So she was mainly in Marseille in like the coast of like the southern coast of France for mm-hmm. the sailing. But when she was done, she got to go back up to Paris to like see all the events. And she'd be partying out with those Olympians until like 3 a.m. on the streets of Paris. She said it reminded her of like a first Friday in St. Pete, which is fun.
No, that made me think about that too, because I was like,
Right?
The same vibe. That's crazy.
Yeah. And she said that one of her fellow Olympians had like bronzed or something and he was taking his medal around and they would take it to the Parisian clubs and they would skip the line and get in for free.
I'd be scared that somebody would try and rob me.
Right?
I don't know.
I guess if you want to skip the line in a club, what you need to do is get an Olympic medal. So
I'm going to make my
attainable
own.
Goal. Right?
Right? I think. But
thank you for having me on the podcast, Cam. This has been so much fun.
And we'll see you next week, Nicole. But who knows? Behind camera, I think. This time we're having everybody's favorite, Kathy with a cup. We'll be right back.
Find all your Gulfport and Tampa Bay beaches news and things to do at thegabber.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the unfortunately named segment, Kathy with a Cop. Unfortunately named because they have set it up that I am the only one who can do this unless I hire somebody else named Kathy. We are talking again to Gulfport Chief of Police, Rob Vincent. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing good. Good to see you in town. You've been moving around a lot.
Yeah, I've been taking a few days off to try and get everything settled up north.
Because you're retiring.
Coming faster than I expected.
When's your last day?
December 6th.
December 6th.
Less than 3 months now.
So you've been with the police, with Gulfport Police, pretty much your entire career, right?
Mm-hmm.
How old were you?
30 years.
30 years. You were, what, 12 when you started?
Yeah. I was going to say 8. But
8. And you've had a successful career. I mean, I would assume leaving as chief. There's really nowhere else to go.
I mean, yeah, there's other opportunities, larger departments,
but
state
in the city.
Agencies, etc. Oh, you mean for the city of
Gulfport? Yeah, I mean, because I think, don't we have something in our charter that the chief of police cannot also be the acting city manager?
But that's based on the state constitution.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So
you can't hold two offices, and city manager and police chief are both defined as an office under the state constitution.
Sure.
So they had to revise the charter to meet the constitution. That's why that exists.
And you're moving out of state.
Yep.
Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens after you leave here?
Didn't we already do this one?
Did we do this one? I think we talked about doing it.
You brought it up and I gave you my runaround answer that I'm probably going to have to give you again.
And I'm going
to
keep bringing it up.
It's entirely up to the city manager.
What does
decide.
That mean? What's
what
the
mean,
process? So when you were hired, let's go back for when you were hired. I remember it was a very, to me, unusual thing. So St. Petersburg, our neighbor, very different practice. They needed a new chief of police, and then Mayor Kreisman did a search, hired a company. He did a search. Now,
but he didn't have to.
He didn't have to, but he did. And then he didn't like any of them anyway.
He chose to hire somebody else outside the search.
And that was fine. I asked him about it, and he went on record saying he just didn't think it was what the city needed. But I've only lived in Gulfport for one change of chief,
mm-hmm.
because our chiefs...
As have most, because we've only had 4 in 50 years.
Yeah, I mean, so Kurt Willicks was the chief before you. And then when Kurt retired, what the city manager, same city manager we have now, what he did was he took you and one other, was it a lieutenant?
Yeah.
Howard, and he's gone.
Right.
He's teaching now. And you both had an equal amount of time to be acting chief. And then they interviewed you both. And made a decision from that, but there was no search, there was no anything.
Well, one thing that was different then that from now is the city manager himself was an interim for most of that time.
That's true.
And he made it clear that he did not want to make that decision as an interim manager. So that prolonged the process.
Well, that's a big decision.
But, I mean, it's up to him. If the only reason, if I were a city manager, especially in this situation, the only reason I would seek outside is if I had not enough confidence in either of the people who are qualified to do the job. So
on paper, how many people are qualified currently working for GPD?
Two.
Mm-hmm. Are they both applying? Do you know?
There really won't be an application. It'll just be, you know, an offer. They just offer, have
to click like on the Facebook post. And yeah. That's like.
Yeah. They don't, for executive positions like that, unless they're going outside, they're not going to post it and seek applicants.
Okay.
It'll just be a, do you want the job or not? Or at least that's the way it was with me.
I'm not going to ask you what it is, but do you have a preference between those two people?
I'll share that with one person.
I'm not asking you what the preference is. I'm just asking if you have any thoughts.
I'm going to share that answer with one person, and that's Jim O'Reilly when he asks.
Who is the city manager? Yes. All right. So what to you would make a good chief with Gulfport as it is now? So you've been the chief for a dozen years? How many years?
14.
So like a baker's dozen plus one. I was close. Gulfport's changed a lot. Like as has everything. I know one of the things that we've seen happen in Gulfport is I think we see a different type of person moving here. We see some different issues, not necessarily all crime related. I mean, it's always going to be lock your damn car doors. Like if I don't get a press release once a month from the city of Gulfport police asking us to tell people to lock their damn car doors, I'll be sad.
Always the thing.
So stuff has changed. And one of the things that's changed in, I believe, in your interim, we no longer have our own dispatch.
Right.
And another neighbor, St. Pete Beach, lost their police department to the sheriff. And they dissolved their police department. So what has changed? What would make a good chief now might not be exactly the same things that would have 14 years ago. So what would you say is, what would be a good police chief for Gulfport? What are the qualities?
Well, the first thing is you have to understand the mission of the police chief is to do what the people who live here want.
So if they all want to trade cocaine, that's cool?
If they did, that would be very interesting. But I don't imagine the constituents in this town would ever get to that point.
I mean, historically, we have run drugs out of Gulfport, so I'm asking.
But not the majority of people.
Fair.
Not okay. The majority.
Not the majority. Okay, so go on. Sorry. What the people want.
The policing should be, the people who live here should be policed the way they want to be policed. And to that extent, I mean, enforcement priorities need to be driven by calls for service. Not by squeaky wheels. Not by politics. The data will tell the police officers how to enforce the law.
What data?
Calls. Where are people calling the police? What are they calling about?
Well, couldn't the squeaky wheels, the instead of problem-oriented policing, there, we call if, that Karen-oriented policing,
if there are that
right?
many of them, then yeah, then
well, what
they'll
about
drive
one person calling repeatedly? There's a noise complaint. The tap house is too loud. If it's one person calling over and over again.
It won't be enough to drive the enforcement.
So it won't skew the data?
No.
Okay, so.
Absolutely not.
There could be a law. So let's take the cocaine metaphor. Mm-hmm. Or allegory or whatever literary device it is, because we know that's not going to happen. And let's just take that one step further. If there were people openly trading cocaine at Gecko Fest and nobody called about it, would the police still ticket people if they saw it, arrest them? How does that work? Because it's still the law.
Yeah, it's still the law. I cannot imagine a circumstance where that would ever happen. But frankly, yeah, I would agree with that. If the conduct was occurring to the extent that the people who live here don't care, that their priorities are elsewhere, then the police should respond accordingly.
This is why we don't see a lot of ticketing for people walking around the Tuesday market with an open container.
Yeah, technically it's illegal, but can I tell you how many complaints we get about it?
It's fair.
Virtually none. Same thing with dogs on the beach. Is it illegal? Yeah. How many complaints do we get about it? Virtually none.
So
I'm not going to commit resources to look for those problems when people aren't complaining about them.
So no punitive enforcement, basically.
Right.
So how does that factor into the chiefs?
Because the police chief needs to understand that. Anybody who's going to be successful as a police chief here cannot do it with an agenda. Your agenda has got to be what the people here want. You can't say, well, I believe that this should be a top priority, because that's based on your personal opinion, not on what the people here want.
Okay.
Because if you know, there are a lot of things that I would like done differently based on my own personal beliefs.
Like what?
But I can't because I absolutely would not want to tolerate any use of drugs. But the people of Gulfport, for example, they don't think it should be a big priority, from my experience, for us to proactively seek out people who are using marijuana, for example. So we don't.
So I have an anecdote.
I thought you were going to say, so I can go ahead and break out my joint?
No.
I'm like, not quite yet.
No. Years ago, well before you were chief, I owned a rental property in Gulfport. It was on a corner, 58th and 23rd. And I was watching my tenants because I lived in the back and a little mother-in-law, and they lived in like a three-bedroom in the front. It was a Friday night, and they were sitting in the side yard. And one of the tenants had a bong that had to be 3 feet tall. And it took two people to operate. And they were passing this around. And I watched a police officer stop at the stop sign, look over, wave, and keep going. And I asked
that. Could have been a hookah.
I asked that officer later.
How do you know it's illegal?
No, I asked the officer later, and he says, man, the people getting high in their yards are not our problem. Like, they are not the ones that
now,
we
I'm not
need to
advocating
worry about
for it, obviously, but.
It's good that you said that.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. The chief needs to understand that it's what the people want.
Yeah, and they also got to be willing to stand up to politics, because there have been times where I have been flat out ordered by elected people to do certain things, and that is not the way this city is set to run.
Is there any chance in hell you're going to give me a for instance?
No.
I didn't think so.
The police chief does not work for any one elected person, and that needs to be very clear. They need to be able to have the fortitude to stand up and say no when the right answer is no.
Okay. What else?
You can't be the friend of everybody who works for you.
I don't think that's been your problem.
No.
I mean,
you got to be able to listen to them, but you can't be their best friend.
I know that was a concern.
Yeah.
I heard it.
You've told me that before.
Yeah, I've heard it off the record. His guys like him too much. Mm-hmm. And then once you became chief, I don't think a lot of people are accusing you of that. But you know, that's any job. You got to be the boss first.
Well, respect is one thing.
Right.
And
got to be the boss first.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. All right. So with that said, who's your pick for chief? I thought like if I asked you three times, you could. Don't say it. That mouse is high, man, all the time. I hope to have you back at least one more time before you sail off into the great southern hills of Georgia.
You still got 2 months. Wait a minute. Yeah, 2 months and roughly 23 days. So
I'm looking forward.
I'm sure we'll do it again.
I am looking forward to the very last podcast you do before you leave.
Maybe I'll do one after I leave.
That would
be more entertaining.
Even better. I'm sure you're just going to be like, no, honey, we can't move to Georgia yet. I got to go on WGAB one more time. I know that's it. Anyway, well, we'll see you next week, I hope. All right.
Deal.
Who's your pick for chief?
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
Either one of them will do a great job.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. All right. Thanks for listening this week. We'll see you next time on WGAB, the Gabcast.